Welcome to Channel Chatter Live, where we take a deeper dive into recent news, thought leadership, and conversations pertinent to channel sales, marketing, and operations. I'm your host, Lisa Hyatt, and I'm super excited to have Krista Fuller joining us today. Welcome to the show,
Krista. Hey, Lisa. I am so excited to be here.
Now, I could do like a formal introduction of you as Zipp's VP of Product Marketing, but I know you personally. And there is so much more to you than that. Lover of statement jewelry, standard poodle, scalable channel technology. Where do I start?
Oh, and maybe we could add like a clothing horse as well to that. Staying, working remotely, working virtually right now is really a challenge, I must say, because I can't put on comfy clothes. I just can't.
I know. I have to say, everybody who's listening, this woman is the best dressed virtual, meeting attendee ever.
You're too kind, my friend.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, just personal, professional.
This spring, I am so excited to say that I will be married to my hubby bubby for 25 years. Together, we have one son who will be 21. I cannot even believe it. And you mentioned standard poodles. Of course, we have the Churls. And so he is our pride and joy and our major form of exercise. Professionally, I define myself as a VP of product marketing. I've been in product in software companies now for many, many years, managing product teams, creating software, running product marketing. Mm-hmm. I'm a mental health advocate, and I'm also a business coach. So I think of myself as all three: product marketing, business coach, mental health advocate.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, that's a 21st century woman. Seriously, how do you meld all of those sort of unique roles, personas together?
Well, I have to tell you, I didn't set out to do that. I have come to appreciate that sometimes when life presents challenges or opportunities, you decide what you learn from them, what you make of them. And several years ago, I had one of those defining moments. And when I say a defining moment, I mean the day by which I define the before and the after. And it was tied to my son's, at the time, mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And his struggle with anxiety and depression, and his battle with addictions as well. And it was in the middle of a really important journey that lasted several years that made me realize that my passion around mental health is one of the places where I can meet the world's needs.
Right.
And I borrowed that from Wes Moore, great social entrepreneur who was a Rhodes Scholar and spent time working in Washington, working in Wall Street. Wes says, work is where your passion meets the place of the world in need. Mm-hmm. And so that advocacy and my willingness to speak about mental illness, mental health issues, also reminded me, what do I love to do? I love building software for sure. I professionally have found a niche that I enjoy. At the same time, I do what I do, not just because of the software side of things. I do what I do because I love building people.
Absolutely.
I love building people even more than I love building products.
How does that perspective really impact how you approach your role at Zipft?
I am so fortunate to be surrounded by a talented team of colleagues and coworkers. Mm-hmm. We are in a village that is passionate about creating solutions for our clients. And so what I do at Zipft is I take the opportunity to work alongside, offer mentoring, offer coaching to those that are interested. I love creating new ideas and bright original ideas by putting great minds together, asking questions, facilitating a good discussion, and seeing what comes out of it. The most brilliant things can happen almost unintentionally, but intentionally. You put the right people in the right space with questions. I love to see how people open up to that.
Chris has really been instrumental in sharing. You know, she's the person that's always sharing a podcast or a book or taking someone aside and seeing if they want to, you know, have a discussion or a walk. It's fantastic. It's something that I really appreciate about you. What are some of the, you know, things that you're seeing or changes you're seeing at Zipft and with our customers? We're in a little bit of a weird space with all the COVID crisis. What's your perspective right now? I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Well, certainly the COVID crisis has brought to the forefront that we are in a time of change. on the Zip side of things, you know, everyone like we are is focused on how do we work better, more efficiently, creatively, and inspire each other. And what it has actually, I think, done is help us to focus on what is most important, which is how can we equip our customers who are in the middle of running channel programs, who are always trying to reinvent their programs to do interactive outreach to their partners, to equip their partners, to reach buyers. We're in the middle of thinking about how do we reshape what has been working well and modernize it for this new decade. Because frankly, this new decade has opened doors of possibility and doors of imagination, quite frankly. So we are learning and thinking and also in the process of rolling out new tools, new techniques, new ideas for our customers.
I talked to Gordon and Laz about the move from in-person to virtual events just recently. What else are you seeing now in terms of digital transformation?
Digital is the way forward. And actually, what I want to talk about is a bit about content and digital.
Great.
When we think about what we can do for the moment, we'll come back to what we can't do. But when we think about what we can do, I think it's important to realize that in today's B2B buying cycles, over 60%, and depending on which stat you read, it's somewhere between 60 and 70% of vendor lists are created before a buyer ever talks to a human being. That makes it so important to make sure that channels, the partners that sell through them, are really focused on bringing content that is meaningful to buyers to bear. And content will always be valuable whether we can have events or whether we don't have events. Add to the content piece the digital element of how do we connect, present information, make it available, and then communicate throughout the top of funnel processes, the middle of funnel processes, and the final bottom funnel processes. Today we're seeing a renewed focus on how do we connect with our partners and to our buyers, and how do we do it creatively? So if we set the face-to-face piece aside, we have great opportunities to engage people really personally with personalized content, with video, with scripted interactions through content that shows up for just you as opposed to all of your peers. And that ability to tailor information to just the right person at just the right time is something that this unique space we're in allows us to do really exceptionally well.
That human-to-human connection is always essential. What are you seeing as the role of the buyer experience right now?
So what we're seeing is that the buyer today is empowered in ways that we did not cater to perhaps even 5 years ago. Think of it as the Amazon effect, right?
Right.
As a consumer, we have access to content and information, and we can score and rate and evaluate, and we can buy pretty seamlessly. That frictionless experience has transferred into our thinking about what our B2B buying experience is supposed to be. And when we think of the channel, I have sometimes intrigued that there's so much discussion about the partner, but the partner is the conduit to the buyer, right? And we know that buyers have to be engaged and connected and have a personalized experience. Recently, Gartner did some research that's a decade ago in 2010, 35% or so of buying decisions were influenced by a buyer's experience. This year, over 80% of the buying decision is influenced by the buyer's experience. And so that ability to cultivate an experience through sellers who actually aren't your employees takes a lot of creativity. And I see our customers really on the front line every single day working to do that in a new and better way.
Yeah.
What I see is a lot of creativity in terms of, first of all, using different kinds of content. One of our customers brilliantly broadcasts and is actually the digital voice of the partner organization. Now in a role to communicate ideas, best practices, and give it life. Instead of having a static experience, our customers are realizing that partners and their buyers crave authentic people. They want to see them, or they want to hear them. They want to hear their voices.
Right.
I'm a big fan of storytelling. Storytelling is so essential to the selling process because we know that, you know, our brains connect to stories. Our brains connect to emotions. And as much as we'd like to tell ourselves that we buy because the data persuaded us, there's much data that says you buy because you're connected to the brand, the experience, the seller in a meaningful way. And then you support that with a rational decision. Mm-hmm. Early in the buying process is much more emotionally driven. Late in the buyer buying process at the bottom of the funnel is very much about eliminating risk. And that's where all the data comes in. And I think that buyers are responding to this emotional connection. And frankly, isn't it great to open up your inbox these days and see an authentic communication
exactly.
about you and your company and well wishes?
Yeah.
We're creating relationships with people. What better time to create relationships with people than now? Everybody's craving it.
So while it's certainly a difficult time, there is an opportunity for brands here. What can they do to connect with partners, customers, even build their pipeline?
You know, that's a great question. So one of the things that I'm seeing, and I think we'll continue to see growth in, is the channel has really put a lot of intentional thinking about this pipeline. It's work that I've seen in other businesses earlier, and this intentional focus of how do we build and manage and sustain a healthy pipeline. The magic behind it is that it's not just sales and it's not just marketing. Mm-hmm. You have to bring them both together. And by that, here's what I mean. To build a healthy pipeline that has a good deal velocity and a good close rate, all those things that you have to have in place in order to meet the numbers and meet the forecasts, mm-hmm. you have to fill the top of the funnel with really strong leads, meaning you've targeted your best fit buyers, you've provided them content that they found meaningful, they had a reason to engage with your organization, they had a reason to engage with a partner organization. That's step one. Top of funnel is all about marketing. That mid-funnel is of the pipeline is really about how does marketing support the sales effort? And it's often an enablement activity. How do we equip sales with the right talk tricks, the right tools, the right messaging, competitive differentiators, competitive traps to set, all those things that good sellers need to be great sellers.
Right.
The bottom of the pipeline, the bottom of the funnel, is really a sales-driven initiative that focuses on closing the deal. And again, it's about enabling those folks to manage the deal close. And ultimately, it's going to become, I believe, a bigger play, not just in terms of winning and acquiring customers. It's going to turn into a much bigger focus as our channels are focused on SaaS businesses to being a retain the customer.
Yes.
Because it's going to be that lifetime value that accrues and creates value for the partner organization and creates value for the channel organization. And so this thing called pipeline is a very live, moving part of our business cycle. And I love talking about the pipeline because it brings together the marketing activities and the sales activities cohesively in a way that helps us grow our business successfully.
You've got this sort of health theme running through your life and your coaching, but then you're also applying that to the pipeline. Like you've got to have this, you've got to feed it really well. You've got to take care of it. Like this health and well-being of the pipeline, I think is a really interesting dynamic and insight that would really only, I see it as only coming from you.
You're right. There is a theme running through that, isn't there? But it's more than just a metaphor, right? It really is something that when I think about health, as you just said, I think about intentional decisions. What's the next right decision? What's the next right decision in my job? What's the next right decision in my career? What's the next right decision for my partners? What's the next right decision for my pipeline? It's about intentionality. And whether it's what we eat or how we walk and exercise, how we approach these days that sometimes feels challenging, if we don't have intention about that time and those efforts, then we don't grow, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I love that. All right. So everyone's going a little stir crazy since we're all tucked away in our homes. What have you been doing to stay healthy, happy?
for me, I actually have to slow down in the morning. And I have shared with my many of my women friends this thing that I've learned, and they think I'm crazy at first, but I swear it works. If you want to accelerate, you have to slow down first.
I like that. I like that.
And for me, slowing down is a spiritual practice, and it's meditation, right? And it has become something that for me is indispensable. Mm-hmm. When I think about where does my passion meet where the needs of the world are, and think about somebody besides just me, how can I give back to somebody else? It really makes a huge difference. Service was what got me out of a really dark place at one point in time. And right. I would commend it to anybody to stay sane. Think about somebody beside yourself. And I see so many examples of that every day. So whatever you're doing out there, supporting our hospitals, our medical professionals, doctors, nurses, keep doing it, or find whatever else inspires you.
Exactly. That's fantastic. I really appreciate that, just that insight and you taking the time to be with us today.
I want to offer to anybody that's listening that finds themselves in a place where they're struggling with any type of mental health issue, the national resource that is a true lifesaver for many is National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI. If you go to NAMI.org, you can find resources available in your area, in your city and locality that can include information to research. It can include classes and support groups. So I would strongly encourage NAMI.org for anybody that wants to learn more.
That's fantastic. They're a great organization. I want to thank you officially, Krista Fuller, my friend, my dear friend and coworker, and our listeners for joining Channel Chatter Live. You can follow and contribute to the conversation at ziffsolutions.com. Stay safe, stay kind.